Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for holding down the fort without me last week.
Sure.
It would fly away in a strong breeze, so it needed to be held down.
Yeah, well, that whole anti-gravity storm coming along, really.
And thanks to Moltz for very, very special guest John Moltz for giving a little rebound flavor to the proceedings.
John is always very suspicious whenever I ask him to show up on a show because he doesn't want there to be homework. I'm like, John, you should show up for 30 minutes and we'll chat.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. And he's like, I guess I could do that.
I suppose. I mean, James Thompson was certainly right there, willing to step in, undoubtedly.
Always is.
That's the thing. You had a little. Okay, so here's what happened this week. Let's start from the middle, which is our start from the end. Wednesday.
Start from the middle, as we usually
and work outward. That's like it's the microwave
traditional
system.
Sure.
On Wednesday, Apple announced that they're going to do a product event next Tuesday. 6 days notice, but you know, who's counting?
I don't think that's the first time they've done 6 days, too. I think there was one more time recently they had done it. But yeah. We're going to keep shrinking it 5 days, 4 days.
Oh, boy. Don't even joke about that. So that happened Wednesday. Tuesday, well, Monday we did Upgrade, not knowing whether it was going to be announced or not, but the rumors were very strong, and so we just did our draft. Thinking it probably will be, and otherwise we'll put it in the bag. But I thought it would be. I even picked one of my draft picks was that it would be on the 8th.
I was wondering about that when I listened later on say Tuesday-ish.
Yeah, so Tuesday comes along, and we all are thinking a week out they're going to announce it, and they didn't. And everybody's like, "Oh, I guess it's not happening." And by everybody, I mean the Rebound.
Well, we recorded in that stupid little window at 3 o'clock. Eastern or so on Tuesday, where we're like, yeah, well, there was no announcement. We are recording our show now, and as of now, there isn't an announcement. So we just kind of were like, well, I guess, yeah, maybe it'll be a week later or something like that. That could easily be the case. And then the episode didn't release until about 24 hours later, after which point it had been announced there was an event. We have a little lag time on our show, so that sometimes bites us.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, usually Apple's very good about announcing these things in a way that works for us, and this time around did not do us any favors.
I think one of the most terrifying things is when Apple goes against pattern, because it's so good at getting in patterns, and then everybody is trained to be in the pattern, and then Apple goes against pattern, and it's completely confusing. It's like, what? They did what?
It's funny, too, because, you know, there's an element of that where we, like you said, we use Apple's previous performance or decision-making to guide where we're going. This is not where that was going. But, you know, I wrote a piece for Macworld, which comes out on Monday, just talking about, you know, what's happening in the event and potentially and, like, what things could get announced or what could they talk about. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of our insight and analysis comes from looking at past actions and saying, well, they usually do this or they usually do that. But it's always dangerous, right? Like, as I literally said in my column, like, Apple never does something up until the moment when it does it, right?
Yeah.
And so you can use that as a guide, but it is certainly tricky. Like, you know, a lot of stuff, there have been some sort of discussions bandied about whether they might say, show something off at this event that isn't shipping immediately.
Right.
Say peak. A high-end iMac or something, right? A peak, yes, exactly. Yeah. And you're like, well, they don't really do that. And you're like, well, like, except in the you know, WWDC twice over the past like 4 or 5 years, where they showed off like a high-end machine, the iMac Pro, and later the Mac Pro, and didn't ship it for 6 months. So could that happen? They could probably walk out and be like, hey, here's this, we're planning this high-end iMac Pro. It's not ready today, but we'll ship in June or something. They could.
Or the Mac Pro.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I wrote a really quick reaction story about the, you know, I don't like to do the tea leaf reading about like, oh, the colors mean or the shape or whatever. But when they did peak, P-E-E-K, performance, I was like, I mean, it does mean something to me. Mike and I were talking about how on Monday, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be hilarious if the event was literally, we're calling into question the whole idea of the event, right? Because it was like, oh, it's the new iPhone SE. It's just like the old one, but the internals are different. Hey, here's a new iPad Air. It's just like the old one, except the internals are different. We upgraded the Mac Mini. It's just like the old one, but the internals are different. It's like, why would you do an event where nothing changes except the internals? Mm-hmm. I look at this, the internals, by the way, one of my least favorite Marvel movies. Not that good. Like, really creepy. So, peak performance. I think to myself, okay, Apple Silicon, because rightfully so, Apple really likes to pat itself on the back and trumpet the greatness of Apple Silicon. They should. But they definitely have gotten into that. Like, they're hyping up how awesome the Mac is with these chips. And they're, when you put performance in the event title, I'm like, it feels to me like there's going to be an Apple Silicon announcement. And I had a bunch of thoughts about what it might be. And one of them was bringing the Pro and the Max to systems that have not previously had them, right? Which is something that we thought might happen. You put Pro or Max or both chips in the Mac Mini and maybe the big iMac and maybe that 13-inch MacBook Pro, and you're pumping them up. But is that really it? There's the M2, which they could roll out the first systems with an M2. I'm not sure that they're going to be like spectacularly faster than the M1, but they'll be better.
Right? Like, it's a weird time to do that when you haven't finished your platform transition.
Ah, which brings me to my latest theory. I am not a crackpot. We wore onions on our belts. It was the style at the time. I'm just going to do all the Grandpa Simpson references now. What if this event is the announcement of the completion of the Apple Silicon transition, where they announce the iMac and the Mac Mini and which are sitting out there as Intel products, and they pre-announce the Mac Pro, because they're not really selling a lot of Intel Mac Pros. It's fine. And they may continue to sell the Intel Mac Pro for a while, and it doesn't really matter. It's all that. And again, crackpot theory, yeah, a little bit. But it did occur to me that I wonder if that would be the thing that they would hang on it, is we're done. Like, I declare this transition over.
It's interesting, right? Because March is typically, as I was writing, again, looking back at prior stuff, March is a weird grab bag of Apple announcements, right? I mean, you kind of know where you get into with WWDC. It varies slightly, right? But like, you know, you're going to talk about software platforms and all that stuff and have a roadmap, et cetera. In September, you know, you're going to talk about the iPhone. You know, there'll be some other stuff depending on kind of what needs to be updated. But March is always, it's always strange. Sometimes there's iPads, sometimes there's Macs, sometimes there's an iPhone SE or a new color iPhone
sometimes it's
accessories.
April.
Yeah, right? Like sometimes we announce it's April.
Yeah.
And so I think it really does mean that it could be almost anything. I think you're right that Apple Silicon is going to factor into it somehow. My sort of crackpotish theory was, what if you could even do a weird staggering thing here, right? If they were really feeling frisky or something, I don't know, you pre-announce the iMac Pro, but you ship it in June, and that clears the runway for June, the WWDC announcement, to talk about the Mac Pro, which then ships some indeterminate number of months after that.
Sure.
So you still announce, like, hey, we're done with the transition, you know, right around WWDC, which is the 2-year mark of when they first announced their transition.
Right.
Even if not all your machines are shipping yet, you're still like putting that pin in the ground of being like, hey, we're done. It's just going to be a few more months until we ship that super powerful Mac Pro, because it's, you know, we want you to have the best performance possible. So I don't know, but like, any of this could happen.
It's also true that June is the 2-year anniversary of them announcing the transition, but they also said it would start in the fall, so you could arguably say it was the fall.
And then there's the calendar year, so as long as they're done by the end of the calendar year, they could get away with saying it was within 2 years.
And I know that there's a lot of supply chain issues and legacy nodes and all of that, right? But I think when Apple says something like it's going to be 2 years, what they're really doing is sandbagging and setting you up for, surprise, we finished it early, which they could totally do if they're ready. Like, because this is what led me down the path to this theory is, well, if they have the iMac and the Mac Mini, and they may not. I didn't even pick the iMac in the upgrade draft because I'm not super, like, yeah. I'm trying to tamp down my enthusiasm for that product because I want it to be there, but that's why I'm kind of like, they're going to have to show it to me because I don't want to believe it. And the Mark Gurman doesn't seem to have any good information about when it's gonna ship, which could lead to an announce but not yet ship kind of thing, right, if they wanted to. Yeah. But once you get there, you literally only have the Mac Pro left to drop before you declare the end of it. And that's what got me thinking, well, they could, instead of doing it at WWDC, they could pre-announce it now. We're all expecting it to be like preview because of past performance. Again, they've done this a couple of times, show it at WWDC and then ship it by the end of the year. But who's to say that they wouldn't show it now and ship it this summer? Like, maybe they will. Yeah. Maybe it's that ready, and they might as well, like, why wait? There's nothing inherently about December, especially if the M1 is reaching the end of its cycle,
right,
and we're starting the M2 cycle, to announce the Mac Pro and say it's based on the M1 Max and that you can get two or four of them, and this completes our M1 story. Now let me tell you about the M2, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of, and there's also this overarching sort of strategic chess thing they're doing, right? Because, like, it also means what other things are in the hopper that they are working on for later this year. So they want, if, for example, there's been a lot of rumor around the headset stuff, if they want to spend a decent amount of chunk of their WWDC keynote talking about this big new product category, they may also have a, you know, rationale to say we need to move some stuff up, or we need to talk about some stuff earlier so that we can do, you know, when June rolls around, we can do a refresher. Oh, by the way, remember that Mac that we announced 3 months ago? Well, it's shipping now. Here's a quick, you know, 5 minute recap about what that computer was. And now we'll move on to something else, right? They got to play that little bit of, you know, Tetris with, like, moving everything around and figuring out what products are shipping when, what's the supply chain, let us do now, where's our scale at, right? All of that stuff. So I think it's hard to get a view into that, like, and that's what analysts, I think, spend a lot of time doing, is looking at, you know, the information that's out there and trying to interpolate, well, what's going on behind the doors there?
Right. Yeah. It's a good question because it, like, the Mac after these announcements, right? The MacBook Air is not assumed to be ready. And that's going to be a new MacBook Air, by all accounts, that'll be based on the M2. So the actual external redesign of the MacBook Air, which I'm interested in seeing, since they basically went, you know, have kept, they gave up on it, and then they had to bring it back. Yep. And so it's been in its form for, like, 12 years, basically.
Sure.
So how do they rethink that for Apple Silicon? What does that look like? That's a product that's floating out there that might be announced at another time. And then everything's pretty good for a while. Like, I'm not sure there are more Macs on the list for 2022, other than, like, again, you can do some M2 sort of speed bump versions,
with the Pro and the Max out there, again, as you said, the M2 is not probably going to provide necessarily a huge jump over the configurations already available.
No,
so if you've got,
it would just be a refresh,
Pro,
right? It would
right.
just,
if you
it,
got, yeah. Right. You wouldn't do, like, the MacBook Pro, probably, because I don't think they want to be in a situation where they're saying, like, okay, you can buy the MacBook Pro with an M2 processor, or you can buy the MacBook Pro with an M1 Pro or M1 Max processor to bump it up.
See,
I think there's,
that's why I think the 13-inch is going to have the M1. They're just going to update it and have it come with, optionally, like, an M1 Pro. So that differentiates it from the MacBook Air. But making it an M2, it's like, well, I don't know.
Seems
it's
odd.
Weird.
It may be that the chips have fallen that way, literally.
Oh.
Because of how the supply chain's lined up or what have you, it's possible. But I think if all other things were equal, I think they would prefer to finish out the M1 story before launching into the M2, just because otherwise the messaging just gets muddled.
I agree.
It's weird.
And the MacBook Pro, I think it makes more sense for the 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Sure.
To have the M1 Pro as an option That's right. Why it's pro. And when they introduced it, it wasn't like that. But if they revise it, if they revise it and put an M2 in it, it's going to still be in this weird, like, it's kind of a MacBook Air, but kind of not place, which, you know, that product exists. So Apple does weird stuff and may continue to. But it would be an opportunity for them to get kind of everything on the same page and close out the M1 story so that they can then roll out the M2, which I had always assumed, based on these reports, it made a lot of sense to me. Then you roll out the M2 with the new MacBook Air.
Right, in the fall or something, which will be about 2 years after the M1 came out.
Or in the summer, whatever.
In the summer, but, you know, at some point,
yeah.
Once you've finished, it feels like is a much cleaner way to do it. That said, again, the real world intervenes sometimes.
That's true.
Things are not under your control, and you got to make the best out of what you got. But Apple is pretty disciplined about this stuff. So if at all possible, I think they're going to try to make it adhere to the sort of schedule they're looking for.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I am two things. One, I am hopeful that there will be a big iMac because I want it.
Same.
Clear. I want it. I wrote this weekend the Isotope RX finally updated their plugins for Apple Silicon. Mm-hmm. That's like, all right, I'm ready now. My MacBook Air, my M1 MacBook Air is now as fast or faster than my iMac Pro in every way. So I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Also, I have a child going off to college in the fall, and his Intel MacBook Air with butterfly keyboard is falling apart. It has reached the point now where it all... this is so good. This is a good story. I hope people will enjoy this. So it has a new symptom, which is it always thinks it's charging. Mm-hmm. Always battery charging. Unplugged, it's like battery charging. Like, okay, that's not good. One of its ports doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? You can't tell by plugging it in which one charges and which one doesn't because it's always charging. So you have to do process of elimination to figure it out. He came into the room the other day and he was just like, I figured it out. the second port doesn't do anything. The first port works, but you can't tell because it's always charging. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, he needs a new laptop for school. And I don't think I'm going to buy him a MacBook Air. So what I'm really waiting on is to see what they do, if anything, with the 13-inch MacBook Pro. I have my doubts that that's the computer I'm going to buy for him. I'm probably going to buy a 14-inch MacBook Pro for the kid. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to... He's going to college. He gets the nice computer, right? For once in his life, he doesn't get the hand-me-down. He gets the nice computer. That's what we did for his sister. So I'm also in the market for a laptop for him, and I'm waiting for this event to kind of resolve my feelings. I don't anticipate by the time he would go off to school that there will be another laptop for him, right? There might be a MacBook Air in there, but I don't anticipate that being the computer for him. And he can't go off to school and then sometime in September or October, like, get another laptop. One, that's kind of crappy. You should go with a new laptop. And two, his old laptop's not going to... I was afraid I was just going to have to go and buy a laptop the other day because he was like, it says it's always charging. And I'm like, does that mean it's not charging? Is it just going to run out of battery and die? Which is not the case. So that's good. Anyway, I anticipate spending a lot of money soon due to Tuesday's event. So I think some listeners are out there with me.
Yeah, well, I'm with you too. All right. Between the high-end iMac, which I'm also waiting for to replace my 5K iMac, I need a new iPad, and I am curious to see what this Air revision looks like. Less in terms of some of the specs. I mean, some of that, right? Like, you know, we know there'll be a processor bump. It'll probably be the A15.
Right.
And we know that it will, you know, not see probably too many other changes, but I think center stage, as a lot of people said, is a good bet. I think obviously 5G is a good bet if that's something you're into. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest question for me, and I've talked about this before, is like, where is your storage and price points going with this? Because the iPad Air is still weirdly positioned, and it's hard for me to choose to buy that device when moving up, you know, paying the extra could just put me in an 11-inch iPad Pro, right?
Right.
Like, I just don't... I need more than 64 gigabytes on an iPad, and that is the intro level, and that is $600, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, pay 200 bucks more, you get an iPad Pro and double the storage.
Yeah,
that's not a great deal.
Yeah, that's the question about the Air that I know all of us who've been watching the iPad wonder about is like, what is its purpose? And is its purpose to hold down the middle as they hike up the price of the iPad Pro? Maybe, but that hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
So it's this weird, like, you know, gets people up from the low-end iPad, maybe, who are not going to pay for the iPad Pro. But it's also weird because, like you said, there's sort of the base configuration, which is in the middle. But then once you start putting things into it, you might as well almost get an iPad Pro because it's so expensive at that point that it starts to cross over with the iPad Pro.
Yeah, and you get all the extra features the iPad Pro has that it doesn't, like Face ID. And
so that's like, that's a real question.
Yeah, a lot of interesting questions there. I think it's also fascinating as I was running down the comparison of the 9th generation iPad, the iPad Air, and the iPad 11-inch iPad Pro. There are like three different screens. There's three different screen sizes, which is bananas. And I cannot imagine why they would want to keep doing that if they could avoid it, because it feels like maybe... I mean, my question is, does the iPad Air, say, get ProMotion, which would allow them to use the same 11-inch panel as the iPad, the lower iPad Pro? Because it's so close already. Like, do they really want to be making a 10.9-inch panel and an 11-inch panel? I don't know. It seems inefficient. But I can understand the cost structure being like, well, it's too expensive to put ProMotion in it. But it's like, but it's already expensive.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
That feels like an iPad Pro feature. I think that the real issue is... that they care about is the accessory compatibility, and the Air is accessory compatible with the 11-inch iPad Pro, right?
True. Yes. I mean, and the I was trying to remember, like, are their like bodies essentially the same other than the screen size? They're pretty
close. their body shape is the same, so that you can use it in the keyboard and all of that, and it works it works fine. It's just that it's got bigger bezels, and it's got the Touch ID instead of Face ID, and you know, just a little camera instead of the big camera housing. And I mean, it's got a bunch of stuff that's different, but the challenge is it's $599 to start, so it's only it's $200 less than the iPad Pro, so that's not nothing, but it gets to be something real fast.
Right. If you need more than 64 gigs of storage, your only option is to go up to $749 for 256 gigabytes. And it's like, well, now you're $50 short of an iPad Pro, a 128
iPad Pro.
Which if you will only, get you all those other features.
Yeah, and if you only need 128 gigs of storage in your iPad... If you're willing to live with that, you get way more stuff on the iPad Pro. So it's super tricky. I will point out the iPad Mini. I am anticipating that the iPad Air is literally going to be the same content as the iPad Mini. In terms of A15 and all of that, and the upgraded front-facing camera with center stage and 5G, and that otherwise it's going to basically be the same. And the iPad Mini is a $499, so you know it may still be riding there at $599 as this kind of in-between product.
It's such an interesting... So yeah, I'll have a harder decision to make, I think, at that point once I start, depending on how those price points shake out, because I do need to replace my 2017 iPad Pro, which is clunking a bit, so...
All right. Well, so I guess everybody warm up your bank accounts because it's happening again.
Starting the Apple season kicks off in earnest, right? We'll get this probably sometime in the next couple weeks after that. Within the next couple weeks after that, they'll announce when WWDC is happening, although I'm sure we all anticipate when it will be. And then the year is well and truly underway.
Yeah. 4 years I've had this iMac Pro, 4+ years now. It served me really well, but yeah, I feel like it's now, you know, it still does a great job. It's just that I know what the power of Apple Silicon can bring.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, I'm using a 2017, so I'm coming up on 5 years of this 5K iMac. And similarly, it's like, it's still a pretty solid machine, but compared to my MacBook Air running on an M1, you're like,
it'd
be so much more.
The wild card out there, I suppose, is the standalone display, which again, I think is really interesting, but I've been fooled so many times that I'm not going to be fooled again, and like I'll believe it when I see it. I And honestly, the new MacBook Pros was the moment where I thought that they had to do it. The only thing I've got left is the Mac Pro. Like, maybe the Mac Pro. Like, you want them to be able to roll out a standalone display and explain why it's so great with their products. Ideally, you'd have a new product to pair with it then. Maybe it's the Mac Pro. But, you know, and the truth may be that they can only get so many panels and they're going to put them in iMacs and they'll get to that product eventually, but they're not there yet. It would be nice to see that. But the truth is, if they released a really nice standalone display on Tuesday, I still think I would get the iMac because I lived the one computer life for a long time, but I've got this M1 Air and it's nice. And I'm not sure I would trade the simplicity of having an iMac for the complexity of having a laptop with a battery and plugged into a display. And I don't know if I would go that.
I really, I've been both a dual computer user and a single computer user, and I'm pretty happy with having an iMac, which is mainly my work machine, and it's in my office, and then having a MacBook Air that kind of moves around the house with me, or I can take if I need to travel, I think it works really nicely. And I have a point now where it's like, you know, most of my stuff is kept in sync in the cloud or whatever, and I, you know, don't have to worry about what files are where and all that. And honestly, it works very nicely for my use cases.
Yeah, so I think I've got to have a hard think about it because there would be, you know, advantages to are advantages to having the laptop, and I know I've talked about them before, because I did that for a long time, and not having two Macs to keep in sync. The files are in sync more than they've ever been, but like your software versions and your, you know, for me it's like the Python version or the keyboard maestro macros and like all of that stuff. Having two different computers, it's more frustrating to keep it all in sync. That said, I've also lived the life where I've got a computer sitting attached to a laptop sitting attached to an external display, and I know it's not like it was 10 years ago, but still it's a little funky. It has little edge case things, and you're giving up, like, the fact is, if I get an iMac Pro, it's going to be, I would assume it's going to be faster. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I'll throw a wrench in there too, because I'm interested. Oh. I know the iPhone SE is also pretty certainly coming out next week. I'm kind of interested to see where Apple goes with this, because as the third generation, I kind of was looking back at these two earlier models. And I feel like for me, it's even money on whether this iPhone looks like the iPhone 8 and the, you know, that sort of design they've had around for many years, or whether they decide they're going to try to do something a little bit more like the iPad Air, where it has the modern stylings, but it doesn't have all the features. And I just don't know. Every time I think, well, it's probably going to be this way, I think, well, but they could do it this way, because you look at the previous ones and like both of those models were something like 4 or 5 years old by the time they rolled out the SE.
Yeah.
And so the iPhone 10 style is 4 or 5 years old now, which is amazing to think about. So it's not as though they haven't gotten better at doing that. It's really a question of, has their supply chain got to the point where they can produce those cheaply enough that they can put them in a less expensive iPhone? And I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I think they'd love to get away from the home button existing as much as possible. And that's a strong argument in favor of it.
If I had to predict, and I did for the draft, but if I had to predict, it would be that it will look more or less like an iPhone 8, like the current SE does, except that the screen will be bigger and they will eat the home button. And it'll be Touch ID on the sleep wake button.
Yeah.
Right, that they want to get away from that home button thing so that they can have the same gestural language everywhere and the same kind of look when you look at it from the front everywhere, but without spending the money on the Face ID stack and using that to differentiate it. So basically, it would be an SE that, and this is the question, is like, is the SE ever a model that isn't just like an old model that they keep ripping out the internals on? And right. and thus far, the answer has been no. But I feel like that might be a compromise they could make, where the screen's a little bit taller, and so it looks a little more like every other iPhone, but you still don't get... Just like with the iPad Air, right? The iPad Air looks like an iPad Pro. They got rid of the home button on it. Not on the low-end iPad, but on that iPad Air. But they didn't give you Face ID. They just stuck a
right.
Touch ID
button. I don't expect that in any ways, but it's fascinating too, right? Because like what you end up with is a weird chimera sort of, right? Where it's like got the taller screen, but does it have a notch? But there's no Face ID. Does it just... But it needs to put the camera somewhere, so yeah. Is it just rounded at the top,
maybe.
Which will look weird? Yeah, it's a lot of weird
maybe.
Questions
or,
about that.
Or it could have a notch, but no Face ID. That's entirely possible.
Sure,
too.
I know. People will be really upset about that, I feel like.
Right?
Yeah, it'll just be funny. You're like, why put the notch? Because it's our trademark. It's
yeah.
what we do.
That's
we have
what
notches.
We do.
Our devices
There's
have
stuff
notches.
Up there. It gets a little yeah. more screen up there. Yeah.
Funny. Funny times.
All right, well, next week, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Indeed.
But until then... Thanks for everybody for listening. Stay tuned. Tuesday, lots of stuff going on. And then we'll be back here Friday to wrap it all up. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.